The man Enoch, points out A.W. Pink, was a very striking character. He's but one of two men of whom it said in the scripture that he walked with God. And he's but of two men in scripture who lived on earth and went to heaven without passing through the portals of death. And he's the only one, with the exception of our blessed Lord, of whom it's written, he pleased God. So we're looking at great men and women of the faith in Hebrews 11. Back in October, we looked at Abel and the sacrifice of faith. Now this morning, we turn to consider Enoch, a man who walked with God. Here's what we learn from the scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We learn a little more about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. If you'll turn back to Genesis chapter 5, we read in verses 21 through 24 these words. Genesis 5 from verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Well, whatever else we may say about Enoch, we must never lose sight of the fact that what we're seeing here in Hebrews 11 is his faith. His faith is what's showcased. And to understand faith and how God could have so favored him, we begin with what Genesis 5 emphasizes by telling us twice, not once, but twice, in verses 22 and 24, that Enoch, by faith, walked with God. He walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? Well, first of all, doesn't it stand to reason that for a man to be said to be walking with somebody else, he certainly needs to be walking in the same direction. And in the case of walking with God, that direction must be the direction of holiness. Anyone who's walking with God must be walking in the way of holiness. But quite obviously, there are many people around us who are not walking in the same direction as God. They're going in another direction altogether. They're headed in the direction of Cain, who murdered his brother in cold blood. They're on a road with Lamech, the renowned early relative of Enoch. Lamech said to his wife, Genesis 4:23, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, Lamech's is 75-fold. It was Lamech who introduced the idea of polygamy to the world by marrying more than one wife. That was not God's way. And the savage boast of Lamech to his wives, which illustrate his wicked, proud spirit, certainly that's not God's way either. But it is the way of the world. It's the prevailing direction of so many. The way of boasting and self-satisfaction and revenge and violence and sexual immorality, the willful rejection of God and the willful rejection of God's law. That is not God's way. That's the way of death and the way of judgment. The Apostle John speaks about walking with God in the way of holiness. He calls it walking in the light. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with God and yet walk in the darkness, we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Surely, a person of faith must be in agreement with God, walking in the direction of holiness in their life. Are you walking with God? Are you walking in the light and holiness of life? Walking with God must also mean walking toward the same end and working toward the same end. Now, we know the chief end of man is also the great purpose of the Almighty. It's all one and the same, to bring glory to God. Surely, that was the purpose of Enoch. And another reason why he and God got along so well. For it says in Scripture, in Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they're agreed? Are you agreed with God? Do you rejoice when people speak well of him and well of Jesus Christ? Now, the psalmist says, here I am, I have come, it is written of me in the scroll, I desire to do your will. Oh, my God, your law is within my heart. So, walking with God means working together toward the same end, desiring to do his will, as revealed in the Holy Scriptures, in the Gospels of the Scriptures. To do God's will is to do God's work. Now, God's work must be our work. A Christian makes it his business to be involved in the business of God by glorifying him in everything we say and do, by speaking well of his name, by defending his name and his word before others, by supporting his church and in the gospel and the congregation within our presbytery, throughout the whole world, with our prayers and our gifts and our tithes and our efforts. And might add this, that we're speaking here surely of a steady sort of relationship and a commitment. As someone has put it regarding Enoch, he did not take a turn or two with God and then leave his company, but walked with him faithfully and consistently all of his days. Now, what a wonderful example. 300 years. It was not a leap or a sprint, but a steady walk through thick and thin. It's common to see people who walk with the Lord for a while, but then they weary of it and they fall away and they walk off and become pretty much exclusively concerned with themselves. They walk in their own direction, dropping the business and the interests of God for their own work and for their own selfish interests. They may have started out attending worship services morning and evening, but then something comes up. Maybe they're offended by someone, or someone said something in the church, or something happened in the church. Maybe they're offended by some act of God's providence in their lives, which they're very upset about and don't know how to understand. Maybe they just got too busy and began to become more withdrawn and infrequent with God. The Lord Jesus warns us. He says, wide is the gate and broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. Why only a few? Because people are more apt to want to follow their own way. Could anyone say of you, now there's a man, now there's a woman, there's a young boy, there's a young girl who's walking with God? Or, now that looks like a person who's very evidently comfortable with God and his business. Could there be any greater compliment than that? But there's more to be said about this man, Enoch. For we've noticed in reading the scriptures that while Genesis speaks of Enoch walking with God, the writer to Hebrews adds that and speaks about how Enoch pleased God. Hebrews 11:5. Before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Now, that might seem sort of simple, but of course, in fact, naturally, none of us are much concerned or give a lot of serious thought about pleasing God. The thing that comes natural to us is pleasing ourselves. I remember quite some years ago speaking with a godly woman in the Belmar congregation who was deeply distressed over the life and conduct of her wayward niece, who had been brought up in a Christian home and gone to Christian school, and yet was throwing off the traces and rebelling against the faith. And this woman noted with particular dismay, and also, I think, great discernment, that there was a certain expression that kept cropping up in the midst of conversation with her niece when she was asked why she did this or why she was doing that. She would say, "Because it pleases me." She thought that was a very clever answer. That was a reason. It didn't necessarily please the Lord, many of the things, but that was no matter because it pleased her. And that's what she wanted. She wanted to please herself. That was not the way of Enoch set before us in this text. His great desire was to please God in and through his life. Now, there are many people, and you know this, who spend their lives trying to please others. We could say that they're all but enslaved by the fear of man. That's to say, they're enslaved or driven by this great need, desire, to please other people, to be a people pleaser. It could be a husband or a wife or children or people they work with or people they work for. Such a one is not serving God. Very often, they're not even serving others very well who they seek to be pleasing. People pleasers, people living in the fear of God, are trapped in an idolatrous relationship. They may well serve others, even in the manner of our Lord who served others, but they must always do so, we must always do so, with the overarching purpose of pleasing God in that service to others. In other words, if what we're doing for another is not pleasing to God, if it's a sinful thing or something that's encouraging or enabling sin in that person's life or even keeping them away from doing what they ought to be doing for themselves, well, that's not pleasing to God. Now, by this point, you may be thinking to yourself, whoa, this walking with God seems like a pretty steep hill. Going in the same direction as God, working to the same end as God, walking or living in the manner of God that's pleasing to God, that sounds like a pretty much out of reach, Enoch notwithstanding, until we poke our heads up from the worksy weeds and remind ourselves that after all, we are in the graceful portrait gallery of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 introduces us to Enoch in the context, to say it again, of his faith. He's walking with God, pleasing to God, because he was walking in faith. Always there must be faith. In fact, Hebrews in verse 6, it says in our text that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to him must believe that he exists. Now, that tells us that, first of all, faith identifies or acknowledges that God exists as the true and living God. Clearly, God identifies himself to us in his word and through his creation as the only true and living God. And God's people from Enoch on down have always begun by identifying God and swearing sole allegiance to God. Faith begins by putting God and Christ first in our lives and forswearing or disassociating ourselves with all of those other idols which may crowd in and push God away. That's what we're talking about. Faith begins by putting Christ first. And that always brings the conversation into the conversation the matter of repentance, because the two always go together. You cannot exercise faith without repentance. Or to say it another way, for Enoch to have believed that God existed was not simply some bare confession about the reality of a creator, ruler God. Even the devil believes in God, and it does nothing more than make him shudder. Rather, for Enoch to have believed, to have had faith in that God existed, was a confession of the exclusive demands of God that he was the Lord and there was to be none other in Enoch's life. That's what it's talking about, to say that he had believed in God. It was an explicit or implicit agreement to follow the Lord alone and expel all pretenders from the throne of his life and his heart. That pleases God. But with this confession, this repentance, is the act of faith. They always go together. Repentance and faith are inseparable, because that faith, that focus of faith, is always on Christ. And to repent means to turn to Christ. It's what pleases God. The faith that God delights in and delights to give to those who earnestly repent of their selfish idolatry and seek him is a walk of faith. The faith of Enoch was a faith in the holiness and righteousness of God, which is to say that although Enoch didn't know Jesus by name, he knew that God was the Savior, not himself, not Enoch. There was already, by Enoch's day, we know, a sacrificial system in place. We know that from the account of Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, who taught them to lay their hands upon sacrificial animals and slay them in a religious ritual. So Enoch knew that God desired to be worshipped and had made provision for his sin. He knew that God could never be pleased with his own efforts, that he would have to trust God to forgive his shortcoming and enable him to walk in his ways. You and I need God to enable us to walk in his ways. We have, in this New Testament age, it's a little easier for us to understand in a more fulsome way, because we understand the work of Christ. We know what Christ did to make faith possible and effective. Christ came to die on the cross for our unbelief. He came to die for our wobbly walk, our self-pleasing, sinful nature. Jesus is worthy of our focus and our attention because he himself walked perfectly before God all of his days. He walked in the light in every way. He walked in holiness and sought the glory of God throughout his life. He made the will and the work of God his way and his will throughout his life. Jesus, in other words, was pleasing to the Father in every way. All of those things of which we want. Speaking of Jesus the Son, the Father said, and he said it more than once, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." So our faith looks upon that one whom the Father was so pleased with. It looks upon not ourselves, but upon Jesus. Not to others, but to Christ as the perfect Savior and substitute. He is the focus of our faith. So walking with God, pleasing God, requires a saving faith, the faith of Enoch, and requires us to grasp hold of Christ in faith. Faith is the hands by which we grasp hold of Christ. It begins by turning away from that life of self-sufficient idolatry. It begins with being sorry for the fact that we're not walking with God and we're not pleasing to God, because we're not keeping his commandments and rules and we don't love him the way we should. It begins with agreeing that like Cain and like Lamech, we're under the wrath and curse of God as covenant breakers who are continually offending God and walking out of his way and in another direction. Grasping hold of Christ means confessing our doubts and our fears and our disinclination to trust what we can't see or touch or name, and the name that is sin. Grasping hold of Christ means crying out to God in faith, taking hold of the Lord Jesus and all that he came to do for us as the incarnate Son of God, the Savior, in faith, confessing as a historic fact the saving work of Christ on the cross, that he accomplished everything perfectly in your place. It means asking God to forgive us, reaching out to him, grasping hold of Christ as he's given to us in the scriptures. It means throwing ourselves upon him as a weary, dead, weary man throws himself into a chair. Exhaustion, giving up everything. Have you ever come in dead tired and just thrown yourself into a chair? Well, that's what we do in faith. It means asking him to increase our faith and to help us trust in him. Help us to walk with him. And the good news is that God delights to hear prayers like this. And he rewards those who seek him and follow him. That's what Hebrews tells us in the text. Hebrews says that he rewards those who seek him. That he's pleased with those who by grace, humbly, in the strength of his spirit, faithfully confess him and follow him. You and I actually can't. We can walk with God. We can be pleasing to God. And God rewards that. He'll reward it on the last day when he receives us into glory along with Enoch. Well, may the Lord give to each of us a deep desire to walk with Christ this day and forevermore. May you seek him today and every day and in faith. A faith that makes our hearts and lives pleasing to him. As it was with Enoch, so may it be with each of us. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank you that you are a God who calls us to repentance and faith, calls us to walk with you. We look at this man, Enoch, long ago and marvel that he could have done what he did. But as we read scripture, Lord, you show us that he could do it only and did it only by your grace. And that same grace is for us. That same grace you offer to us and call out for us to take hold of. Lord, enable us to walk with you, to be men and women who walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.